Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode where we are going to be talking to Dr. Alexis Robinson, who is not just a standard pharmacist to me. She is my dear friend that we went to pharmacy school together. And she is just another example of somebody who I've seen blossom and take on the field of pharmacy. And she's representing family medicine clinic setting. And she has a focus with HIV patients, anticoagulation, as well as diabetes. So she's going to talk to us about what her world looks like in this industry.
Awesome. Thank you, Dominique. So thank you for having me. So happy to be here. And I can definitely talk to you a little bit about what my role looks like on a day-to-day basis. So I work in a family medicine clinic. There are about 9 doctors who work there. So really, I serve kind of almost as a consultant service. So if patients are uncontrolled or need any additional help with their care, the providers will refer them to me, and mm-hmm. I'll actually have scheduled visits with them. So just like you mentioned, I'll talk to them in detail about their diabetes, about their warfarin. I'll kind of help manage that mm-hmm. and adjust that as needed. And then we actually have an interdisciplinary HIV clinic, and that's with our medical residents, as well as an attending. So we get to kind of provide that care for them as well. So love what I do. It's so rewarding. And the patients definitely appreciate having a pharmacist there as well.
Nice. Pharmacists make a difference in the clinic setting.
Absolutely.
And I did. So I mentioned to them that we went to pharmacy school together. Mm-hmm. I do like to ask our guests how they decided to get into pharmacy in the first place. So what was, what did life look like for you when you were kind of figuring out what you wanted to do as far as graduate school and which industry within healthcare you wanted to settle on?
That's a good question. So I actually remember a while back, and I don't know what made her say this. Maybe God put it on her heart. But my aunt literally said to me, she was like, I feel like you would be a good pharmacist. And this was when I was in like high school. I didn't know what pharmacy was. But I was like, okay, let me keep that in the back of my mind as an option. Mm-hmm. So I get to undergrad, you know, I'm still figuring things out, but there was an opportunity actually to volunteer in an ambulatory care clinic. So I go to volunteer, and I probably did that for at least a year of undergrad, and it was so, so rewarding because the pharmacist there was amazing. She was a Black woman. Mm-hmm. You know, she could speak Spanish, and I just saw mm-hmm. the care that she gave to her patients and how much they appreciated her.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing experience. And I think that really solidified my interest in pharmacy in general. And, you know, now that I'm reflecting, I think it solidified my interest in ambulatory care as well, since that's what she did. So that was kind of my initial path. Now, I did have some time where I was a little bit concerned because undergrad was very hard where I went, mm-hmm. especially the science classes. So mm-hmm. I was nervous about my grades. I was like, ooh, you know, I don't know. Should I do a post-bac program just to kind of make my application stronger? And what's interesting is I actually got to talk to one of the deans of my school just through connections and folks I knew who wanted me to succeed. Mm-hmm. And they told me, don't worry about it. Just apply, do your best. And that's what I did. And I got into pharmacy school. So it's only up from there.
It was only up from there.
Yes,
and then she met me.
And I met her. Absolutely. Definitely one of the biggest rewards there was meeting you. Not gonna lie.
Y'all hear that? Y'all, you hear it first. And so in pharmacy school, we did have other opportunities of practice. So they let us do community. We also did hospital. Mm-hmm. And then we did have the option to do a lot of clinic-based mm-hmm. rotations. That's just one of the perks of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So it was still solidified in pharmacy school for you through those experiences.
Absolutely. So definitely through my rotation experiences, and I'll even throw in there some of the organizations as well. So mm-hmm. a lot of those would allow us to kind of go out into the community and work with underserved populations. So, you know, even just the blood pressure screenings or, you know, blood glucose screenings, being able to go out into the community and do those things mm-hmm. for folks who may not be able to access healthcare. I think that also kind of tied in as well.
Yep. Shout out to SNAPA.
Yes. Shout out to SNAPA for sure.
And you also did a residency. Mm-hmm. Did you do 1 or 2 years of residency?
So yes, I only did 1 year. Okay. And I did it actually focused in ambulatory care. Because I knew at that point, that's the path I wanted to take.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what was, I like to ask this as well, because, mm-hmm. you know, people sometimes they can be on the fence about mm-hmm. whether they want to do residency or not after school, True. Because it's mm-hmm. another year minimum mm-hmm. afterwards. Mm-hmm. What was that like decision like for you that made you decide to do residency versus trying to just go right into the field?
Gotcha. So I think, again, just thinking about my kind of future and the type of position I wanted definitely mm-hmm. played into that decision. And I do feel like we were kind of not scared into it, but, you know, they kind of really encouraged us, I feel like, to pursue that residency path. And I think that kind of got ingrained as well. Uh-huh. But again, I just thinking about the role I wanted and knowing I wanted to do more hands-on clinical care mm-hmm. Encouraged me to, you know, just get that extra training. Because also I just wasn't sure if straight out of pharmacy school I'd be ready mm-hmm. to be a pharmacist on my own and make those decisions. Yeah. So I think having that extra time just to learn and grow from folks who do what I want to do mm-hmm. Was super helpful for me personally.
Yes. And mm-hmm. then how did you get into the role that you have now?
So, as I mentioned, I did a 1-year ambulatory care rotation. Actually, my preceptor for that, who was super, super amazing. So I worked with her for the entire year of my residency. She really pushed me to be better, do better. And I really think played a large role into, you know, who I am today as a pharmacist. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because actually, towards the end of my program, she got a new role. Mm-hmm. And our clinic is kind of like I talked about before. So it's it actually serves minority patients, underserved populations, those who are uninsured. It kind of groups all those folks together at our clinic. So she actually got a new role mm-hmm. And honestly blessed me because she kind of ushered me into her role because she was yeah. like, you know, I've seen your growth. I think you would be the perfect person to have this position as I'm transitioning out. So that's kind of how I ended up where I am now. Still there.
Look at God.
Yes, ma'am. Look at God.
That's so dope.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's circle back then to mm-hmm. your role. So you mm-hmm. have patients who are on your mm-hmm. schedule. Mm-hmm. How many patients are placed on your schedule per day?
Yes, that's a good question. I would say for the most part, most of my days are anywhere from 8 to 12 patients okay. that I'll see. And I would say that's probably the heavier days. Yeah. But what's also nice about it is a lot of my schedule I make. Sometimes our physicians will refer them and our front desk will schedule them for me. Mm-hmm. But a lot of time I have control over them because or when they get scheduled. So, for example, if I see them for a visit right at the end, I'll say, OK, let's schedule our follow up. So that way okay. we're both on the same page and we know, you know, this is the date we're going to check back in and let's check on your progress at that time. Mm-hmm. But yes, as of right now, it's about 8 to 12 a day.
So that sounds like a 30-minute schedule mm-hmm. encounter block.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Usually they're about 30 minutes. If it's my first time meeting a patient and I know I'm going to have to do more of that in-depth education and, you know, helping them coordinate getting their meds and things mm-hmm. like that, I might schedule it a little longer for like an hour. But most times 30-minute blocks.
Nice. And so what I'm hearing is it sounds like you might have a collaborative practice agreement going on. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Ooh, let's talk about it. Absolutely. So it's actually interesting. So I do have a collaborative practice agreement in place, but actually our system is also transitioning to having everyone become clinical pharmacist practitioners or CPPs, ooh. Which kind of fall into that similar setup. Mm-hmm. But yes, so we do have a system set up with our collaborative practice as well, where as long as the providers refer them to us and it falls within our scope of practice, we can almost independently manage the patient. Yeah. So that includes prescribing for the disease state that you're managing or mm-hmm. helping to manage. Some folks do order labs as well for follow-up about that, just to see how the therapies are going, see if things are working. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, just being able to send refills, for example. You know, I know sometimes folks run out of things and they have to wait, you know, 2 weeks for their doctors to get around to it. But yeah. for my patients, I say, call me directly. I'll send it immediately. So that definitely, I feel like, helps their access to care. But that's why nice. I really appreciate having that in place and being able to work independently, but yeah. also just be a closer access point for the patients for their care.
Nice, nice. I love that. That's one of the reasons why I got into clinical. I just love the autonomy mm-hmm. that's available on this side.
Absolutely.
So, to segue, mm-hmm. every job, right, has its pros mm-hmm. and cons. Mm-hmm. What would you say are your favorite, what would you say is mm-hmm. like your favorite part of being a pharmacist? And then that also can apply to like what you do on a day-to-day basis. And then what would you say are your biggest challenges?
Okay. Yes. So my favorite part, I would say, of being a pharmacist is honestly seeing my patients succeed and their providers being able to see them succeed. Because I will have people who have been referred to me, they've been chronically uncontrolled, just to give an example, you know, diabetes. Maybe their A1C has been over 10 for years and years. You know, they refer them to me, and the fact that I can, you know, take more of that time to see, okay, what's going on? Is it because you can't afford your medicine, where here's a coupon, or here's patient assistance we can sign you up for? Or is it because you're having side effects? Okay, let's try something else that might work a little better for you. So being able to take that time and go more in depth about their care and why things are the way they are, I think is so, so helpful for them. And you can see them turn it around in months, right? When they've been chronically uncontrolled for years. So I would say those are the times that really remind me why I chose this path and why I chose pharmacy, just to see them do better. And they're like, wow, I didn't even know that was possible for me. So that's definitely, I would say, my favorite part. and on the other hand, I would say the most challenging, which may kind of fall in line with the favorite part as well, but it's just actually helping them to get what they need sometimes can be a challenge. So just the other day, I was literally trying to figure out any and every option to help someone be able to afford their medications. But, you know, we just keep hitting dead ends, or, you know, you do the best you can and it's still not affordable for the patient. Because a lot of our folks, it's like, you know, they have to decide, are they going to buy food, or are they going to buy their medicines, right? Or are they going to pay their rent, or are they going to be able to go pick up their medicine from the pharmacy? So I think that is definitely the most challenging part, is kind of also keeping in mind those social determinants of health and helping them to navigate, you know, what's most important, but let's also see how you can take care of yourself while you do have to make those tough decisions.
I love that. You kind of sound like the mama bear of the healthcare team, getting to like the root of the issue.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it for sure.
So what would you say to people who are looking into pharmacy? They don't exactly know where they want to land within it. There's many options. What would you say is something to consider if they want to get into the clinical side of pharmacy?
So I would say if you want to get into the clinical side, I think first things first, make sure that you feel like that's something for you. So that would, in my opinion, the best way to address that is just shadowing experiences or volunteering experiences, because I think that showed me very quickly what direction I want to go. So I would say seek opportunities from, you know, mentors, pharmacists, you know, family, friends, whoever. Seek kind of some opportunities and advice from them. But at least clinically, specifically, in that area, I would definitely probably consider some additional training as well. So keeping that in mind, just to make sure that, you know, you're comfortable going out on your own. And the job market is hard these days as well. So, you know, you want to be best prepared to be hired. And a lot of times that is a requirement.
Be very competitive.
Yes, be very competitive. Yes, absolutely. So that's definitely a way to kind of get you ahead of the game and boost you up. But I would say the key thing, though, is definitely the experiences, shadowing and volunteering and making the most of your rotations if you are in pharmacy school as well, and take advantage of those.
So for you, how did you, for your shadowing experience, how did you get that opportunity? Did you go up to a clinic and just ask them one day and say, express interest and see if you could shadow? How were you able to accomplish that?
So I know one experience was, like I mentioned earlier, through applying for a volunteer program through undergrad. So that was one way I went about it. Another way is my mom actually works in healthcare as well. So I actually got to shadow, I think, a long-term care pharmacist a while back too. So she was able to kind of set that up for me. Of course, there may be some, you know, paperwork HIPAA things that may have to be in place first. But usually folks are happy to take learners or folks who are interested in their path and go that way. So that was just more of a connections and knowing someone who works in an area that I may want to work in. I think even one of my experiences right before pharmacy school, I actually did an internship up in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And again, that was just someone my mother was able to connect me with that she works with. And they were gave me an awesome experience, actually in pharmacogenomics, which was definitely a unique area at that time. Yeah. But so that was super nice to be able to make that connection and have that experience.
Pharmacogenomics, I don't hear about it as much, but I know mm-hmm. that it is becoming more influential mm-hmm. and yeah. it will have a very large role in mm-hmm. the future. I had some pharmacogenomics introduction mm-hmm. in one of my clinics, actually in North Carolina, mm-hmm. in Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay. The patients yeah. would send in their samples, mm-hmm. DNA samples, mm-hmm. and the pharmacists would go over their yeah. results and which drugs mm-hmm. they yeah. were metabolized faster or mm-hmm. slower. And that was really cool to see.
Yes,
like, it is just a little cool. like inside look into what's coming.
Absolutely.
In pharmacy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely think that can be super helpful for patients in the future. Just like mm-hmm. you mentioned, it's like, okay, if this isn't working for you, maybe that's a reason why. Yeah. Maybe you don't process it the same as other folks. So
yep.
definitely something interesting to look forward to.
Yes. And so there's, mm-hmm. There's like the things we can kind of check off the box, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can go after the internship, we can go after the shadowing opportunities, but what are some things that we have to prepare for ourselves mentally mm-hmm. As far as what to expect if we want to get into this field? Because mm-hmm. working in a clinic requires a different characteristics or mm-hmm. Affinity to certain things mm-hmm. than working at a lab bench, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. what would you say are some like characteristics that can serve this space well, or someone who has mm-hmm. certain characteristics would enjoy this area a little bit more?
Yeah. So at least in my clinic setting, so it's a lot of talking all day. So you're having these one-on-one visits with the patients. You know, at least in my role as well, I do a lot of teaching. So I'll have medical residents, I'll have pharmacy students, I'll have pharmacy residents who work with me. Mm-hmm. So I think just keeping in mind that, okay, you know, every day I'm going to need to be to exert myself in that way, right? I'm going to have mm-hmm. to have these conversations, sometimes difficult with folks, sometimes a whole lot of education. Mm-hmm. So I think knowing yourself, if you enjoy that type of thing, is important to recognize, because if you don't, right, if you're like, yeah. I don't really want to talk to people all day, I want to yeah. be in my corner and just do my work, right, this may not be the best role for you. Yeah. But I would say just keeping that in mind. And I mean, the thing is, I personally am an introvert, but I still talk to people all day and it's still rewarding for me.
Yeah.
Now, do I have to go home and recharge each night? Maybe. But, yeah. You know, it's still super rewarding and I enjoy doing it. And I absolutely mm-hmm. love talking to my patients, talking to the learners, and just seeing them grow each day. So I'd say definitely just kind of know yourself and know which path to take from there.
And so do you personally precept the medical residents, or do they just maybe spend a little bit of time with you while they're already under the care of another provider in the practice?
Yeah, so they usually have kind of shorter just shadowing experiences with me, just to okay. see what I do in the clinic and understand. And I'll also even have them run the visits, right? Because I want you to also focus on the pharmacotherapy, because if you're managing patients and I'm not there helping you, I still want to make sure you know, yeah. you know, what medications should we consider, which ones should we avoid. Mm-hmm. So I'll also have them kind of take the lead on that while I'm there to help if anything comes up.
And I'm curious, what's yeah. your favorite disease state to work with?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think even though I don't get to do it as much as I'd like, but HIV is actually my favorite. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why HIV?
HIV is my favorite because it affects people who look like me mm-hmm. a lot. And I think that's a lot of disease states.
Yeah.
But it's also just a lot of very young Black men, at least that I see. So I think it's rewarding for me to be able to show them, you know, even though this kind of life-changing diagnosis has occurred, you can still live a very normal life.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still, you know, we can just give you some medications and literally you can just go on about your day and live a fairly normal life. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of why I enjoy that population and working with them so much, is just seeing them kind of shift from that very scared, very nervous, I don't know what's going to happen from here, to, you know mm-hmm. what, actually I'm fine and I'm going to be okay and my team's here to support me.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely rough sometimes, though, not gonna lie. It's a lot of care that goes into that. And it's usually a lot of, again, social determinants of health that come into play. But, you know, we have an awesome team and multidisciplinary. We have social workers, community health workers. So we just pull them in and they help out with, you know, no hesitation. So that's super helpful.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Have you ever had to, are you the person who's giving the diagnosis, or are you more like the secondary person when someone has been diagnosed, now they come see you?
Yeah, so usually they have the diagnosis by the time they come to our clinic. Mm-hmm. And from there, usually they'll kind of meet with the doctor, and then I'll come in and say, hey, you know, I'm a resource for you. This is what we're starting. This is the side effects to look out for. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure you can afford it. I'm going to make sure, you know, you can get it from your pharmacy. And then we kind of take off from there and continue follow-ups.
That's beautiful. Man. Yes. Undetectable equals untransmittable, I think, changed the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. The U equals U campaign. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Alexis, do you have anything else that you would like to share that I don't understand, or I don't have knowledge to everything that you get to see within mm-hmm. your workplace? Is there something that you have like insight on that you feel would contribute to our audience and will be like mm-hmm. a good nugget for them to take away from today?
Yeah, I think the key thing is be confident but humble. That's just my general advice. Mm-hmm. So be confident in your knowledge. Don't second guess yourself, but also be humble and know that there are still things to learn. And still every single day I'm learning something new. I've been a pharmacist since 2020, right? So I think that's the key thing. Be confident in yourself. That way the providers will also trust you. The patients will trust you. And then also just be willing and open-minded to learn.
That's good.
Thank you. That's good.
And it also applies to folks in pharmacy school mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. Like it applies to you as well. It so does. Have that same mindset when mm-hmm. you're in the books, when you're doing your mini clinical assessments and exams. Mm-hmm. Be confident, but also keep your mind open that you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Don't be afraid to say you don't know something, right? Don't be afraid. Yeah. That's how you learn.
And it's also how you avoid mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. Absolutely.
You see that? We are finishing each other's sentences.
No, but thank you for having me. This is an amazing platform. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. And thank you guys for watching, and have a wonderful day.
Have a good one.